Welcome to Dice and Dreary. When we last left our heroes, they were headed to the spires of Castle Ravenloft. Along the way, they found themselves ambushed by a carpet and a painting. We join them as they brush off the dust from their most recent encounter within the castle.
You are on this landing. There's a cold draft coming from the stairs to the north. And you can hear the wind howling. Doesn't sound like it's right there, but you think maybe up a stairs, up a flight or two, seems to be exposed to the outside. Ahead of you is a single door, ornately decorated, has a nice fine crystal doorknob on it. It just looks aged, looks old. And that is the door that the guide or servant you had with you, the cook, told you is the guest quarters, referred to them as your room, and went on his way back down the stairs to attend to his cooking. And that's where we're gonna start. So you're here on this drafty step. The rug is torn to shreds, as well as the painting. And it's quiet, aside from the whistle of wind down the stairs.
Okay. All right. So yeah, we need to get over a tower. So upstairs, trying to get outside, get our bearings a little bit.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Although these guest quarters might be a good place to have if we need to take a rest.
Just please check for traps. Because there's literally been two traps in this tiny, tiny landing already.
These weren't traps. These were magical things.
Yes, am I going to sink into the bed, never to be seen again?
Look it. I have seen movies about vampire places and things that attack you from the bed.
What's a movie?
Wait, don't you like not believe in magical things?
No, I believe in them. They just suck.
Oh, okay. Well, as demonstrated by the fact that there's a broken painting and a broken rug at our feet. Okay. Do you want to check the door? Want to take a peek inside?
Yeah, I'll take a look at the door.
All right. Me, investigation.
Wow, is that enough? Oh, well, it would be a 20.
A 20, I was going to say. Is it a 13 or 20? Is this the one you get advantage on?
If I'm looking up close, I get advantage.
A 20. It sounds quiet on the other side, except for the sound of... You hear the faint sound of footsteps and some creaking wood. But it's just momentary.
All right, there's something on the other side. Let's keep going, then.
Okay. All right, we're going to head up.
Okay. Up the stairs. Map. Up to map.
This is not what Jeff wanted to hear. Fine, up the stairs, whatever.
Up the stairs. You approach another landing. The spiral staircase... arcs around, the stone is getting a little cold and damp as you head up, and you come to another landing on another floor. This is, you can now hear that just upstairs is exposed to the outside. The stairs are wet and slick and moss covered. There's little puddles on some of the stairs that lead up, but you're here at a landing, and there is a not as ornate as before. It looked like it was once a good quality wooden door, but now is just kind of warped a bit from the weather, and has tiny claw marks all over the bottom of it, like a small animal had been scratching at the door.
I look at Gizmo.
Oh, Strahd's got a kitty.
All right, check it out before we go.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
All right. So, how are you doing this? Opening the door and just seeing what's inside?
No, check the door first.
Yeah, I just got a 17 on investigation.
17 is you don't find any traps, but you do hear the tiny pitter-patter of feet on the other side of the door.
Oh, Strahd's got a kid.
With who? Or just somebody he stole?
Alana's down the stairs a little bit. She says, what's up there?
Huh? Well,
what's the hold up? What do you see?
Shall we go?
Yeah, let's go.
Just all know right. That if you accidentally tap out YYZ, I'm going to start headbanging.
All right. Continuing up the stairs, you are all hit with a cold breeze as the stairs circle up about a floor and then emerge on the top of a tower outside. There is rain coming down everywhere around you. The stone here is worn and slick from ages and ages of weather. And there is a narrow, about 10-foot-wide bridge that leads to another tower from which there's a red glow emanating from the doorway. The glow seems to pulse in a rhythmic fashion. The bridge that crosses this tower to the next has no handles, no rails of any kind. It is just a 10-foot-wide path. Stone bridge that leads across to the archway where the red light is glowing from.
Is that the heart?
Looks promising.
I can't see it.
No, you cannot.
It's like on the map, just for the audience, it's like 70 feet away. It's so sad. I mean, if I step forward literally 2 feet, I could see it.
I'm going to push you forward 2 feet.
And you see it. So inside, what you see across this bridge is a crystalline heart that is slowly pulsing in with this red light, and it's filling up the tower. From your vantage point here across the bridge, you can see that there are stairs in there, but you see, you can't really see beyond that if there's anyone in there or not. All you see is this large crystalline heart pulsing and giving off this red glow that's spilling out into the across the bridge.
This is the same heart you encountered before?
Unless there's more than one.
It's the same spot it was in? There's not a multiple heart situation?
We were underneath it at the time, so... Well, yeah, we've only ever heard of one heart, so...
Okay, I think we found the heart.
It seems like it. Now, why... Oh,
we've been trying to get down to the heart of the matter. I shouldn't quote Don Henley songs you're likely to get.
It's been a long day! And I hate... I'm gonna turn to everybody. It's like Van Rictavio. And it's particularly, it's like, do we have to do any, you know, like ceremony or stuff, or we just break it?
As you turn to say that, you kind of say that and then turn over to see Van Richten has walked across the tower to the edge and is looking out down into the courtyard, and he says back to you, Well, whatever we decide to do, I think we better do it quickly. We're about to have company. And he points down, and everyone but Crethin can see a black carriage is approaching the castle. It has just crossed the drawbridge and is in the gates. And it comes to a stop, and the door swings open. Keep in mind, you are all like hundreds of feet in the air. In fact, let's see. Let me see how. 190 feet below you is where you're seeing this tiny little figure get out of this black carriage, a carriage you recognize, you've seen before. And why don't Sprocket give me, you're the only one that could do this, so give me a perception check, Sprocket. Crethin can't see any of this.
Six.
A six. You don't recognize who it is, but a lone figure exits the carriage, stops for a moment, and kind of seems to kind of look up towards the top of the castle, and then rushes towards the front door and out of sight.
Well, as soon as Rictavio says, we might want to do it quickly, I'm going to draw my +2 exploding crossbow of fire. And fire.
Can I go back? Can we retcon back 3 episodes and do something?
3 episodes.
I just thought of an awesome idea I should have done, but...
Flashback.
What was your idea?
Casting grease on the drawbridge.
Oh, that would have been great. The carriage approaches the drawbridge, careens off into the valley. Crethin, you are pulling out your crossbow?
Yep.
Why don't you give me a dexterity saving throw?
Oh, crap. Holy smokes, 10.
10. As you're aiming...
That was a roll of a 1. For everybody keeping track. I'm like, Dex, this is my thing. I'm the ranger. I got a 20 Dex score. And then I roll a 1.
As you're aiming your crossbow, you're suddenly are collided with by another person who seems to have dropped out of the air, for all you know. For the rest of you, you saw that, unbeknownst to any of you, there was someone crawling along the tower that is to the right of you. There's a circular tower that goes even higher above this. You're not at the top, but crawling along the wall was a figure, and before any of you had a chance to say anything about it, you were all had your backs turned, kind of looking out. You turned around the moment you saw him flying through the air and tackle Crethin, kicking him down the stairs. You fall down the stairs, the slippery stairs a little bit, Crethin, and you take, let me see here what his 2d4 plus 3 damage, and then another 1d6.
Oh gosh.
2d4. So 6 and 5. So 11. You take 11 damage from this hit. And standing where Crethin used to be standing is a rather elegant looking young man. He's longer hair, he's wearing jewelry, he's wearing the noble clothes, but they're faded and old and very wet. And he most certainly, without a doubt, Esmeralda, you recognize right away that this is in fact a vampire. He has the fangs, he's got the whole works, and he is now standing where Crethin used to be standing before Crethin took his shot, and he is just gleefully kind of smiling at all of you. And let's all roll initiative. Let me get this thing up here. There we go. Oh, let me clear it out first. Okay, go ahead and roll.
We just did. You took it off.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We tried.
I'll add all you guys back. Initiative. 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 And then I'll use your original or your original.
Yeah, I changed mine.
And my dex is 16.
9, Esmeralda. You got a 23.
Haha, Crescent's not going first.
I'm still going way before you.
All right. And then
right. I'll back clean up.
So standing there before you is this nobleman within these worn out but still very, very elegant clothes. And after knocking Crethan down the stairs, he gives sort of a polite bow to all of you. Esmeralda, it is your turn first.
I must attack this monster with my short sword. Did I get
an 11? Let me pull up his... I guess I should pull up his character sheet, huh? An 11 is a miss. I believe you get 2 attacks, though, Esmeralda.
Again.
That is most definitely
a
hit.
Yeah, that's much better.
And how much damage do you do? 9 damage. Striking him, you kind of slice his arm a bit. He looks rather offended. He kind of, you know, he takes the hit, but you've sliced open his shirt his little puffy shirt he's got going on.
Been wearing that for 300 years.
I've ruined your fashion.
He even says, like, this is original. This isn't a reproduction. as he's looking offended.
This is the same person who's crawling up the side of the building in the rain.
Yes, it is.
Gosh, he totally wants to be a pirate.
Alana takes a shot. First shot misses. Second shot also misses as he begins dodging and weaving with unnatural speed. Rictavio is next. What does Rictavio have in the way of vampire slaying? He is going to...
I think he has a garlic cannon.
He's going to take his cane and do the little, like, unlock the sword and pull it out. He makes 2 attacks with his sword cane. 1 is a 23, and the other is a 13. 1 hits for sure, with 3 damage, a whopping 3 damage. And does it... No. Okay. Yep, just a whopping 3 there. And it is Crefin's turn. You are down the stairs a bit. Let's see here. I'm just arranging people. There we go. You're down the stairs a little bit. You have to get up. You're on your back. Kind of fell down halfway down the stairs. You have to kind of get up, but you're able to get back into the fray from the stairs. You didn't fall all the way down.
All right. It's like, really wish I would quit doing that. And I'll get up and use my bonus action to ignite the sunblade. I can't wait for episodes to see what sound you make for that. or if you just record me just doing... And I'm going to come in that... So that is my bonus action, so I can use 2 attacks, but I won't be able to use Lance, if I understand that right.
Does that sword generate sunlight in an area, and how big is that area? Sun sword, right?
15 feet of sunlight.
Okay. So it, you just light up this roof here. And in fact, what do we, I think we can do this. Details. Radius. 15 feet, you said?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, there's just awesome. a bright spot of light as you ignite this sword. Let's see. And the vampire here kind of shields his eyes a bit as there's a faint smoke that starts to rise up. That's your bonus action. What is your action?
I'm going to attack with the sun sword. Okay, you might need to help me out here. Let's go ahead and do our attacks. Oh, crit!
Uh-oh.
33 and a 32.
Yeah, those both hit for sure.
Okay. All right, let me look at this, because will it add the our vampires are undead, I think, right? So it will add the radiant damage because against undead targets.
Yeah, 1d8, an extra 1d8 on top of the damage that it already does.
Okay. All right.
Look at all of that. Oh, okay,
that's math. I don't know about all that. Okay, so.
Okay, so the first one,
I think, is 15 with the radiant, right? Because the second column is radiant.
The second column is two-handed. Are you using it one-handed or two-handed?
No, it's one-handed. Okay.
One-handed. So
So it's the 10 plus 4.
10 plus 4, because the 4 is your crit. Yeah, and then the second one is a 17.
Right.
Because you rolled an 8 and 1, and you rolled a 1 on the other.
Okay. Plus, and that does that. Well, that's. I don't think that's adding the radiant, though, is it?
It says radiant.
I know it says radiant, but I'm looking at the calculations, and it's just. It's like just the 1d8 plus 9.
Oh, you're right. Radiant.
So I don't think it's.
You're right. The radiant they made it weird. Look at it. So it looks like it's 10 plus 4 plus 5. Because if look on the right hand column, it says radiant two hand radiant against undead targets. So that's that.
Holy smokes.
Radiant two handed. Don't look at the crit one. That one's messing everything up. Look at the one below. The left side is just one handed. The right side is two-handed, and then there's a line, and then that number is the radiant damage.
Oh, okay, so that's five. Yeah. It's five is radiant on that first one.
Yeah, so it's a 14
plus
a 19?
19, and then a 17 plus 7.
24.
Holy shit. 20.
So yeah. 33 damage.
That's impressive. 33 damage.
Plus he had a 9 from Esmeralda.
Yeah, he's in rough shape. He's starting to smoke a bit. Sprocket, it is your turn. Or unless, Crethan, did you have any other?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay.
I'm pretty pleased with that. I think I'm just going to like sheathe my sword and like, all right, it's up to y'all now.
Sprocket, it is your turn.
Oh, hello. Have we met?
He can't answer.
This is going to be one of those backstories that is complete mystery to us and the listeners. It's for more about this character, tune in to Postmortems.
I'm going to move off to the side a little bit so I have a clear shot, and then fire.
All right. An 11 misses.
18.
Just 18. Okay, that is a hit. I was trying to see if he got if you got advantage, but no, he just takes disadvantage on attack rolls because he's in sunlight. An ability check.
So 9 damage on the first one, and then my third does 6 damage.
All right.
I feel rather pathetic now.
Those. those strike him, and just he's an easy target. Just standing there, kind of shielding his eyes as he's being to smoke after Crethin just wailed on him with this light sword. And he ignites into flames. He takes 20 damage for starting his turn in sunlight. He does not get his vampire regeneration because he is in sunlight. He is going to... Let me see here. What is his dex? Did you say your dex was 16, Sprocket?
Yes. Yep.
His was 16, too.
what's tiebreaker?
I don't know. you went first.
tiebreaker is the DM. The DM just said you.
Yeah, you go first. He is going to... he's going to run up the wall. He's going to turn and run up the wall. This will invoke an attack of opportunity from Crethin and Esmeralda. So he's taking a risk here. And also he has to make a dexterity, a 6. So he doesn't get too far out of the range. He manages to get up on the wall. And a little bit out, but not out of the sunlight with that dexterity roll. Crethin, you and Esmeralda, you both get attacks of opportunity. So you can make a single attack on him as he turns and runs. Just after bursting into flames, mind you. He
should have given us a fire hug. I don't know what damage that does, but it's probably a lot.
I mean, he's probably in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Is he within... Saint's thigh bone range?
Yes. Yeah, you could totally pull that out.
Well, that's happening. So, do that?
Yeah. Go ahead and give me that. And Crethin, you can give me your damage on that, because that's a hit for sure.
Gizmo whimpers because he lost the bone back. I want to
see what
back.
The thigh... I'm in midst of attacking, but I want to see what the thigh bone does.
How do I make it work?
she's that's in character. She's waving it. It's like, how does it work?
What does it do?
Let me see. Your
how does this
sheet.
Happen? I see it.
Just click Saint the thigh bone.
Connect that thigh bone to his skull.
I will click it again. Equipped. Yeah.
No, click it up above in the box that says attacks and spell casting. Not with the blue check next to it.
Okay. Saints. Oh, here we go. I have clicked it.
A 14. 14 misses. So unfortunately, you don't get to see what the thigh bone does yet, but you swing with this jeweled thigh bone, missing. But Crethin, yours hits. Okay. How much damage does the sunblade do to him? 17.
17.
You strike him down. And he immediately, as he falls to the ground, he just immediately dissipates into a mist. And you see that mist float towards the north and off the edge of the walkway.
Oh, okay. I guess he's
going. Does all that great fashion turn into mist as well?
Oh yeah, everything about it. Just he misted and left. And you're left up here in the rain. There's a lightning that strikes off in the distance.
Okay, let's get this done.
What was that guy's problem?
I wish we found out his name or his backstory. I bet it was really interesting. A lot of the characters in this castle are really interesting. Van Rictavio. How long did you say that they have to stay in their coffin to regenerate?
It's quite a while, isn't it?
I think it's a day.
Okay, all right.
About a day. We have some time.
Okay, I just want to make sure that if we need to, we can take a rest, because about to burn some healing. But actually, let me do that first, because I know we're going to attract some tension right now. What do y'all think? Should I potion it to not burn spell slots, or I only have one potion?
What is Vanrick Tavio's doing good? Alana, she's all right, 66 out of 75. What's your health at, Esmeralda? Your full health. No, you got attacked by the...
Okay, don't did I get attacked? It's all them at
Didn't
full
you get
health?
Attacked by the carpet?
That may have just been suffocating. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. I think
yeah, I think it was.
I almost think died, was... but I'm yeah, at yeah, full
yeah,
health.
Yeah, you didn't take any damage, but you almost suffocated. That's what it was.
I'm down
damage
2 points.
Damage to my ego.
I'm at 51 of 91, so I'm nearly at half, and like I'm fine, but like I don't want to get in a big brawl at half. Spell's not gonna help me a lot, but shoot.
Oh, you weren't talking to me?
No. Okay. I'm gonna cast Cure Wounds at second level.
Alright.
Okay. Alright, gained 13. That makes me feel a little bit better. Alright. Shall we? And I'm gonna sheath the swords and pull back out the crossbow.
Just gonna pick right back up where you left off. All right, to do this, let me add the heart. Add that to the turn order here. 4. The heart goes on turn order 4. So, we'll just continue in turn order as you all are here. I think, Krethin, you're already aiming and stuff, so I'll give you your shot first before we jump back into turn order, if that's indeed what you are doing.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Make sure. All right, go ahead and give me your shot.
Okay, 16.
16, and it has... That is a hit.
Okay. All right, so 12 piercing damage, and then... let me make sure I have this down right. A 20-foot fire explosion. 2d8 plus 2 damage.
2d8 plus 2. Okay. Damn, you're just dishing out the damage now.
I like my weapons. Another 13, so 25.
25 damage. The arrow goes whizzing through the air. It has that loud whistle to it, that kind of rocket whistle that as it strikes, and there's the sound reminiscent
it leaves a little trail of smoke behind it.
Yeah, a little trail of smoke, and there's the sound of shattering glass as it strikes dead center into the heart, and you see the pieces of the crystal kind of break off and fall down the tower. As soon as it's struck, it shakes violently. The tower begins to lurch left and right. You can see the stone bridge that's connecting the two is just straining under the pressure of this tower, just lurching left and right. Esmeralda.
Yeah.
What would you like to do? Ahead of you, across that bridge, is this crystalline heart that is now pulsing violently and shaking the tower violently as well.
Well, I'd like to destroy the heart, but... I want to use lightning bolt, but is that like a situation that would, if the heart were not beating, would it bring it back? Like, what do we
you're worried
feel
that
about
you're gonna
light?
You're gonna like defibrillate the heart.
Clear.
We're not there yet, so I think the lightning should be okay right now.
We can probably do this by shooting at it if you want to save the spell slot.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is that will cost? You can do that. It will cost the spell slot, though. But if you have any kind of bow and arrow,
and if we're not doing a rest later, then I will. We'll go ahead and play it safe and do the. Let's see. What do I have? I have a hand crossbow.
Give me your shot. An 18 is a hit.
A shot to the heart.
A shot through the heart.
You give love a bad name.
Yeah.
I am to blame.
All right. I think we got the name of the episode. How much damage?
I had Pat Benatar lyrics loaded up and ready to go. So don't hold off on that, okay?
All right. We'll see. 9. All right. Alana, taking note what we're all doing, and she's gonna take her shots too.
I like the idea that Alana wasn't sure what we were even doing up here. Like, oh, okay, we're gonna shoot the heart. Okay.
Unfortunately, the swaying and swinging of it is making it difficult. She misses. Rictavio, where's his? Rictavio doesn't really have anything ranged.
Well, we did just dig him up like literally a day ago.
Yeah.
Get it together.
He just scowls at you, Esmeralda.
Suppose I could hand him a flamethrower.
I forgot. Is Hans with us, or did we send him
back?
No,
Hans.
We sent Hans back.
Yeah, we sent Hans back. That's right.
Okay. We had to give the heart the evil eye.
We had 3 red shirts with us.
I think we had like 5.
5 of them. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Marina, Florina, Valerie, Claude, and Daniel.
Adding their damage onto Alana.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Alana's just getting bonus, like +5 to all of her damage.
Nice. Okay.
Crethan, you going to take another shot?
I think so. 30?
Yeah, I think that hits.
Okay, so 13 piercing. I'm sorry, what was it? 2d8 plus 2? Yeah. And another 9. It's the whole...
Another 9, all right.
The whole room in there just lights up.
13 and 9. You put another large hole in this crystalline heart. The glass shatters some more, knocking a large chunk off the left side of this heart, and it is beating erratically now as the tower is shaking even more violently. And Sprocket, it is your turn.
This gonna heart, have to go shooty. 13 is a miss, I believe.
A 19 is a hit.
For 9 damage. And 16.
That is a hit as well.
For 11 more.
For 11. These two shots ring out. And the crystalline heart explodes when it's hit, sending shards of glass everywhere. Including out of the doorway and down the pathway towards you, all of you. These shards of glass just shooting out, and as these sharp crystalline glass fragments fly through the air, they turn into blood, and it splatters across the bridge, and you can see the light dims and fades away in the tower as the tower comes to a halt, dust raining down from inside of it, and it's just a bloody mess inside. But before you all have a chance to celebrate, you hear a scream behind you, and you turn around to see there are 3 just wet, shabbily dressed vampire spawn that have climbed up the tower from behind you over the edge. One of the vampire spawns has pulled one of the five Barovians with you, just pulled him right off the edge. He fell hundreds of feet below to his death.
Which one?
What were the names again?
Marina, Florina, Valerie, Claude, and Daniel.
This was Claude. Claude is gone.
When y'all hear this episode, pour one out for Claude.
The other two are right on top of right behind the group of you, with Alana being the furthest back, and both of them are going to attack her. We're actually one's going to attack her, and one will attack her, one of her party that's with her. They make two claws and a bite. Makes two attacks, one of which can be a bite. So the first one's two claws on Alana. That is a 23, which is a hit, and another 23. And Alana is grappled as well. Or actually, let's see if she. Grab it. Yeah, she's going to grab Alana for the second one. She hits with the first one, dealing 7 damage to her, just slicing her with her claws. And the second attack, she grabs Alana and has grappled her and start pulling her back. The other vampire spawn is going after one of your Barovians that's with you. And an 11, I believe. Let me see what they're... Of course I put them on another map, right? of course they're somewhere else.
3 hours later.
13 is their armor class. So one misses. They're wearing heavy leather armor. Let's see here. So one misses. The bite... the target's hit point maximum is reduced by blah, 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 blah. Five damage, 7 piercing, and yeah, so that's another one of those guys is down, as this vampire is just feasting on him now.
I've been there.
Esmeralda.
It gets better, though. Which one was that?
Florin.
Oh, dang.
Esmeralda, it is your turn. All of this is happening behind you. Between you and these vampire, the two close ones, is Alana and the group of Barovians you have with us. But the other vampire is far off to the left, or the southwest, at the edge, is kind of slowly circling around, looking for his moment to dive in. What are you going to do?
I'll use the Saint's Thibon on the vampire that is closest.
All right. Give me your attack. A 12 misses. Give me your second attack.
Do you have proficiency in Thibon?
Wasn't this weapon that was after?
Yes.
I don't know. Like, what is going on with this thing?
You've missed twice. You missed both of them. What are you rolling? Rolling 1d20 plus 2 strength. You rolled a 5 the first time, and you rolled a 6 the time. A 6. So you just had some bad rolls.
Okay.
You missed twice with this. So your two attacks don't do anything. Alana is going to try and break free. She has to get it's a DC 13 to break out of this. Where is she? Archer. Strength, DC 13. Nope. She is still grappled, unable to attack. Rictavio is going to pull out his cane sword, and he's going to rush over to the other one across the way, and he's going to try and do like this diving thrust. I'm going to give him like kind of a tackle with his sword cane.
Frictavia accidentally falls off the side. I would be so mad. It took so much effort.
He missed with that, but then his strength to kind of shove it, a 12 versus the vampire spawn strength, an 18.
Oh, no.
So that just kind of, they kind of stop and lock in a grapple together. And it brings us back to Crethin.
All right. Swords coming out. Ignited. I'm going to do that every single time. Since that one is grappled with Alana, am I able to get some swings in at it?
Yeah. Yeah, you can. You can go after it.
Okay.
It has, it'll have, I believe, like half cover. Okay. Because she's like using
that adds some
Alana
points.
As a, let me see what it does.
Rude.
She's using Alana as like a human shield. Cover. Half cover, so plus two to her armor class.
Okay. All right. I am going to Sunblade. 24.
24 is a hit.
And I'm assuming the extra radiant is going to work. So if it does, then that'd be a 21.
21.
And I'll swipe it again with a 30. I'm assuming that's going to hit.
Yeah. How are you getting these insane 17. Rolls?
Sunblade is plus 13 for me.
Jeez. You just deal tons of damage to this vampire, but do not kill her. She does let Alana go from the attacks, though.
How is that calculated? Is that...
Let me see.
Proficiency plus...
Yeah.
Sword plus... I'm bad at things. I don't know how that's calculated.
The Sunblade. Well, your proficiency is what? Four. Should be four.
Four.
Yeah,
right.
You got a plus
and then
four
my
to that.
Dex is five.
And you got, yeah,
so that's
so
nine.
That's that. And then the Sunblade is a plus two to it.
So should that be 11? Why is it 13 then?
I don't know. Either way, we'll continue on.
Yeah, no. I'm going to.
So it. Yeah, you deal massive damage, and also you're spreading sunlight around the area, which is harming them. Sprocket, it is your turn.
Okay, I'm going to move up so I'm kind of in the middle of everyone. While fishing in my pocket, I pull out a thing. Like, how does this thing work again? And I hold up the holy symbol of Ravenkind. Expend one charge to hold vampires.
All right, what is the range on that?
30 feet.
30 feet. All right, that is.
And they make a DC 15 wisdom save. On a failed save, they're paralyzed for 1 minute.
DC 15 wisdom save. All right, saving throws. There is one. Nope. There's two. Yes. There's three. And I think, hold on. Just says attack rolls and ability checks. So no. No disadvantage on save. So... two fail, one succeeds. The one that succeeds is the one that's feasting on Florin at the moment. The other two are paralyzed for 1 minute. Like full on paralyzed, huh?
Yep.
That's crazy. Paralyzed.
Oh, they can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of their turns.
Agent, okay. So they're frozen in place. It is their turn now. So the two are paralyzed. The one that is feasting gets up and is going to swipe at the closest person, which happens to be Crethin. But before that, each of them take 20 damage. These two take 20 damage for starting their turn in sunlight. And this attack on you, Crethin, is going to become a disadvantage. So first one, does a 19 hit you?
Oh, yeah.
So you deal
good disadvantage roll.
Instead of dealing damage to you, this vampire is going to grapple you. So you are now grappled, and it's going to bite you.
Oh, stop doing that! You've already tried that.
So grappling, when you are grappled, let me see here. Grapple. Moving in or shoving a grapple. When you want to grapple a creature, you make the attack action. A grapple if you're able to capella. Using at least one free. The grappled condition. That's the one I'm looking at. Grappled. Your speed is zero. You can't benefit from any bonus speed. Condition ends if the grappler is incapacitated, and the condition ends if an effect moves. So you just can't move. But you can move your arms and stuff and try to attack, but just says you're grappled, so it's so the grapple and then the bite. So 9 doesn't hit you, I don't think. Huh.
Right.
Yeah. So you do not get you don't get bit at all, but
yay.
But he's trying. She's going, Esmeralda, it's back to you.
Back to the mighty warrior. And her incredibly mighty weapon. I will try the same style, and it's going to work this time.
Which one? So you have one that is grappling Crethin and one that is kind of staggered that was attacking Alana. Those are within range to you.
The one that's close to Crethin.
Okay. Give me your two attacks. A 16 is a hit.
Is it up?
6 bludgeoning, and let me see what this thigh bone does. Because it does something. Thigh bone. It has the properties of a mace of disruption. So, if it scores one or more hits against a vampire or vampire spawn in the course of the single battle. Oh, that is not part of it. As a youth, McCarvey. Yeah, I don't want to know. There's too much lore in this to give me the stats.
we soundly rejected lore when we just killed that vampire without even learning its name.
Exactly.
I'm sure it was someone important.
He was named. He did have a name, yes. When you hit an undead with this weapon, the creature takes an additional 2d6 radiant damage.
Nice.
If the target has 25 hit points or fewer after taking the damage, it must succeed on a DC 15 wisdom saving throw or be destroyed.
I didn't do radiant damage on my turn. It's too late.
On a successful save, the creature becomes frightened of you until the end of the next turn.
Isn't. All right.
This also, this mace sheds light as you're holding it. I forgot to mention that, but it's not sunlight, so it does not matter for this battle, but it does shed light while you wield it. But your hit, you deal 6 damage. Give me an extra 2d6 over on the left. I don't know if you've ever rolled one there, Blue, but over on the left bar there should be something that looks like a dice. If you hover over it, you can just pick the d6 and the 2 next to it. A 4 and a 6, so you got 10 points of damage to it. Its hit points are below 25, and so now it must make a DC 15 wisdom saving throw. And that is going to be for this vampire spawn. Wisdom saving throw, a 12. And what did I say? 15. As you strike this vampire with it, it just explodes into dust, and not that cheesy CG dust like in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This one is like just full-on cloud of dust, just like a and it there's just like dust that's being washed away by the rain now around you.
So more like Thanos snap dust.
Yes. So great job, Esmeralda. That was one attack. You still have another attack And I deleted the wrong one. Whoops. You still have another attack. That was the one that was fighting Crethin that burst into dust. So Crethin, the dust is like all over you, is now being washed away by the rain. But there's still that other one that was staggered that you can attack, Esmeralda.
Get my
mouth. I have a bone to pick with that one too. A saint's thigh bone.
As you swing,
I assume you get advantage, but it's not going to matter.
Yeah, and a 10 isn't going to do it. As you say that, you go to swing, and the staggered vampire kind of like ducks down inadvertently, and you just like miss it completely and hit the castle behind it.
but the castle is sorely wounded.
Yes, you stupid wounded castle. The castle. You cracked the brick on the castle. Alana, now kind of free from this, she pulls out her short sword and she just is gonna make a pin cushion out of that staggered one. 16, 21, both hit. She deals 7 damage for each hit, so that's a 14. Still doesn't kill this vampire spawn, but at least deals quite a bit of damage while it's incapacitated. Rectavio is up. And Rectavio is going to kind of attack. They've been locked in this in this grapple over here, and he's going to kind of shove back off, gonna try and get out of this. He doesn't have to roll because he's the initiator of the grapple, but he's going to take a step back and attack with his not with his sword cane. I don't think he is going to. He has the worst spells.
Why did we raise this guy from the dead again?
He's going to
That's
detect.
That's what I'm saying.
He's going to detect good and evil on this vampire. No, he's going to. In fact, no, he's when making attack, can try to hide when lightly obscured. There's nothing to lightly obscure him. All right. Yeah, he's just going to go for his sword attack. A 16 is going to hit, I think. Yes, 16 hits and a 24. So he does 12, 14 damage again. He is just making a his sword cane is kind of like it's a thrusting sword. It's a little neat and like long needle type thing, and he's just like pincushion. Crethin, it is your turn. There's one staggered vampire to your left, and another one fighting Rictavio outside of your area of light there. The one that is in the light is looking in rough shape and most likely will die very soon just from being in the sunlight.
Okay, but if I go help the other one, he won't be in the sunlight anymore. Let's try to take this guy out, and we'll gang up on Rictavio's.
All right.
All right, I'm just going to stab 19. Or 17 if it should be plus 11, which...
That's a hit, either way.
Okay. So 14 damage.
And that's enough to kill this thing.
All right.
Unlike the ashes before, this one turns into a mist. Like the previous, the noble you fought, turns into a mist and begins to misty escape. Off the edge.
Was one paralyzed?
Can I get over to the other one?
It is, it's interesting. It is paralyzed, but it involuntarily turns into the fog. What is that? It's not Misty Step. What do they do? It is gaseous form. That's what I'm looking for. Gaseous form. I want to see what that spell does. You transform a willing creature to a cloud of foam. The spell ends. The creature drops to zero hit points. The corporeal fear. Okay, that's not. While in this form, the target's only method is flying speed of 10. The target can't enter or occupy the space. Target has resistance to non-magical damage, advantage, strength, dexterity. The target can pass through small holes. It treats the hit. If the target can't fall and remains hovering in the air even when stunned or otherwise incapacitated. So it's just a cloud that's hanging there. Yeah, it can't move because it still is paralyzed. But the cloud just hangs there. So it remains. This misty patch just hanging in the air. Crethan, you can move, yes.
Okay. I should be able to get over to the other guy.
Okay.
And I just did the one attack with them, so... Lance, you ready?
Huzzah!
I keep having to use my bonus actions for lighting up the sun sword, sun blade, but you're up.
Never been more ready.
Oh, he was ready. Coach. 25.
25 is a hit for sure.
That's 8.
8 damage.
And second sun blade would be a 14.
14 is a hit? Okay. No, it is not. It is a mouse.
You get advantage. Paralyzed target?
Oh, yes, you do. You do get advantage. Paralyzed target.
Oh, good call.
Nice call.
30.
A 30 is definitely a hit.
That'd be 18. I have to do something this fight.
18. All right, Sprocket, now it is your turn. This one, there's the fog that's just hanging in the air over by Alana and Esmeralda. And then there is just the one vampire that's shielding its eyes from the bright sun of Crethan's sun sword.
Well,
and you're kind of in the middle.
Gaseous form does not give any sort of immunity to magic attack, so I am going to cast Firebolt at the fog.
Cast Firebolt at the fog. Okay, this is an interesting question now. We're getting into uncharted territory.
You should have been prepared. You know us.
I know. I need to see what happens. It transforms into a cloud of mist. Instead of falling unconscious, right? While in zero hit points, mist form. Can't revert vampire form. Must reach his coffin within 2 hours. Destroyed. Once in the coffin, reverts to vampire form. Then paralyzed until he regains at least 1 hit point. At 1 hour. So yeah. After 1 hour, his coffin with 0 hit points, they get 1 hit point, but then they still have to do a long rest to fully regenerate. Unless that regeneration starts. So anyway.
So there's no way to kill it outright unless we get to the coffin?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can continue to deal damage to it, but what happens, it's not really It's called Misty Escape. It functions like gaseous form, but it's like a dead man's trigger. When they hit 0 hit points, it triggers Misty Escape, and they turn into gas and just like involuntarily just begin heading towards the coffin. But because this vampire can't move, it's a cloud that's paralyzed there, and when it can move, it will begin to float towards its coffin. But by damaging it, you prevent it from... Well, yeah. Damaging it won't do anything then, because it's always at 0.
Okay.
Until it gets to its coffin.
Do we know where the coffins are?
You don't.
We have follow it to its coffin.
I think we can use one of those orbs. I think that was one.
Oh, that.
But anyways, teleportation. Yeah, the teleportation orb.
But yes, you do have. There's still, and to answer your question, Esmeralda, yeah, that. Like, this one is paralyzed, so you could, in theory, wait for it to unparalyze and then follow it to see where it heads.
Green is to where the coffins hide.
Oh, yes, the brazier room.
Right, and then yellow is to the master's tomb. So I'm thinking green is where all the vampires are. And yellow... This is not a conversation we should be having in the world.
Yeah, it's Sprocket. You have your attacks.
So I am going to assume with my intelligence that I remembered everything Rictavio said. And I know we can't actually kill it. So I'm going to firebolt the other one instead.
Okay. A 20 is a hit.
Whoa. Dang. Wow.
26 damage.
Not bad for a cantrip.
Yeah. That
is. Holy smokes.
What is that? What is it? You don't kill it, but what does that look like? That's an impressive amount of damage.
It's just a concentrated beam of light, like a laser.
Oh, that's right.
That
you used
shoots
that.
Out of my gun.
I think you used it in the episode that just aired. All right. Is that your turn? All right. So the vampire
blows up.
The vampire lets out this horrible screech as it does, in fact, just kind of blow up. It bursts into flames, and shortly after the body just the flames and body burns away, and it is still this fog that's hanging in the air there waiting for its paralyzation to end. And that's it for hostile creatures. What do you guys want to do now? You're standing here in the rain. There are these two vampire fogs that will begin to move in probably about, let's see, that was 6, 12, probably in about 30, 45 seconds or so.
All right, guys, we got to make a decision. Do we go now?
We follow.
Or do we find a place to rest? Find a place to rest.
I didn't use my lightning bolts. I'm good.
Ilana and Crescent are pretty beat up.
Yeah, we've used some spells. I'm fine on spells, except that I'm kind of beat up.
Well, it'll take them, an hour to come back anyway.
The vampires?
Yeah, a day.
Right, yeah, so, no, I'm not worried about those. It's just like we press the advantage or just find a spot.
I'm all for finding a spot.
If you got the rest, you got the rest.
All right. I mean, as you discuss this, the timer ends on the paralyzation, and the two clouds of mist float upwards towards the circular part, the castle, the crescent moon kind of cut out in your map that you guys can see is another tower that goes up several. If we look at the Ravenloft Heights map, you guys should all see that.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. You guys are at the 190-foot mark right there on the right. You're on that tower. You can see the bridge there. The tower where the heart is on the left, the short squat tower. The other tower is that kind of crescent moon cutout, the bigger tower. And the fog that's there begins to they float upwards, up the tower wall, and they enter in to the arrow slits above the top, about 300 feet up.
Aren't there some like witches or something up there? As y'all tell me this, because I didn't see it.
Esmeralda, you do know that the witches are in the spires. You read that in that book you have.
So the vampires headed up to where the witches are?
It's what it appears like. You're not too sure what exactly is meant by the spires, but that is definitely a spire.
Well, we can try it. We can try out where the tombs are, and if that doesn't work, then we can try spires. Do we want to go ahead and do that?
Did you do your rest? Or,
well, you got to find a safe place first. So here is. Well,
so yeah, that's the question. We could rest now and then. Go after Shrod. We can try to kind of clean up some of these vampires and then rest and go after Shrod.
So here's the situation. From the time this battle started, it's been probably like 10 minutes since you first killed that first noble vampire and saw the person approach. So you know that there is someone someone has arrived. You couldn't see who it was from up here, but someone arrived in that black carriage and has gone inside the castle.
What? Somebody arrived? Y'all didn't tell me.
Rictavio, he says, what do you mean? We all saw him right there, down there. Oh,
wow, that's
yes.
Pretty insensitive of you.
I do apologize. So what is the plan? Okay, there are plenty of places. I mean, it's a big castle. You could probably find a place to hide, but this, where you are now, is in the elements. You're in the rain, but also you can assume that you probably, people know where you are.
Right. Okay, so we can go back down do we want to find a place to rest? That mirror room might actually be really good.
Can we find it again?
I would lean on my survival skills.
How about intelligence to recall information?
Yeah. I'll give you that. I'll give you, we're going to put it at a 17 to recall this information, because the castle is winding and confusing.
Nope. I wasn't paying attention.
Nope.
Could I use survival?
You can use survival at a disadvantage.
Oh, because just intelligence?
Because you're inside instead of, you know, being a ranger outside. But yeah, you could use survival to kind of find your way back.
Okay, survival at disadvantage is not good.
And 11.
11 and 19, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you don't recall exactly how to get back there. You just, pretty much all you guys know is down. Yeah. You need to go down.
Okay, like if we can find the dining room, then we know we're close. That tower over there where the heart is in it looks like it's safe now.
Yes, it is. It is dark.
Yeah, so
just bloody.
That one goes very far straight down. That would be the direct way, but somebody's probably running up it right now, so maybe we should go the sneaky back way.
Back way is probably a good idea.
All right, we'll start moving, and we'll decide on the way if we want to go stake some vampires first, or just go ahead and rest and then go after Strahd and then worry about staking people later.
Thanks for listening to Dice and Dreary. Our players this episode were Crethin, played by Kai, Sprocket, played by Ken, Esmeralda, played by Blue Velvet, and the DM, Jeff Adam. Music by the Techno Funk Boy, and editing by Jeff Adam. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.